Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting Father, we give you praise. We thank you very much, Lord, that we are alive to witness this day. Be exalted in Jesus' name. Father, please speak to us, minister to our needs, and let our lives be transformed for better. We give you all the glory, for in Jesus' name we pray. Good evening, church. You know, we have been, for some weeks now, we've been talking on new beginning. You know, this month, it has been discussions on new beginning. And today, I'll still continue. And I pray that the Lord will minister to every one of us, both the people that are seated and people that are watching online. So I say, new beginning, new opportunity. New beginning, new opportunity. And my text today will be taken from Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 to 4. It says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, New King James Version. And darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. Now, like I said earlier, a lot has been said about new beginning in the past weeks. One thing that is certain, before you can talk about anything new, then there must be something old. Before a new, there must be an old, or even the present. When there's an opportunity for a new beginning, it's an opportunity to correct what is wrong. Psalm 11, verse 3 says, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? It's an opportunity to rewrite your story. When we are talking about new beginning, in fact, when this particular topic was, being discussed, I was excited. Because the moment you hear new beginning, and God is inspiring a church or a people to say, start a new beginning, have a new beginning, it's a whole lot of opportunity for you to attain the optimum. It's an opportunity for you to rewrite your story. So the question will be, what is your story? What is your story up to this moment? Now, if you are writing your story, will you be somebody they call mistakes personified? Is your story that of failure? When people are writing your story or they want to talk about you, is it that they will say quarrelsome? Is it that you are poor? Is that your story? Is it loss of opportunities? Has that been your story? Whatever is it? Is it prosperity? What's your story? Everybody has a story. But this is an opportunity. When God is giving a new beginning, it's an opportunity for you to rewrite, to make it better. Everyone has a past, but God is giving us the chance to start again and afresh. It's an opportunity to lay a new foundation for our future and that of our generation yet unborn. It's an opportunity. Job 4:19 says, how much more those who dwell in houses of clay? So, there are some foundations that are of houses of clay, whose foundation is in the dust. That's what he wrote. Whose foundation is in the dust. Who are crushed before a moth. Now, it's an opportunity to build a solid foundation. Luke chapter 6, verse 48 says, it's like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. So, if the foundation has been shaky, and you know it, the Bible said in the earlier, it said, if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? Now, when a foundation is destroyed, it's destroyed. I remember some years ago, I wanted to buy a house. You know, I felt it was cheap somewhere in Bodija. And I wanted to pay. Fortunately for me, I asked my wife to also visit. So we discovered that what sent the owner out of that place was water. So I would have bought it, thinking I bought something cheap. And when I called the engineers and everybody, they said, what I will spend is more than the amount I was going to buy the house. Because they have to go back to the foundation. You know, the way it was structured was faulty. So, once the foundation is bad, it's either you have a new foundation, you have a new structure, or you go back to that foundation and sort it out. So, we have opportunity now, that is what God is calling us into, to build a solid foundation. It's also an opportunity to achieve your vision. And then your life's vision defines who you want to be as inspired by God. That's your life vision. What you want to be known for and the set of experience and accomplishment you aim for. That is vision. Proverbs 29 verse 18a says, where there's no revelation or vision, say people can cast off restraint. New King James Version says, where there's no vision, the people perish. Cast off restraint. It means that you just go wild. You don't have direction. So you do things anyhow. And it leads to death. It leads to destruction. It leads to people getting perished. Then I say it's also an opportunity to attain the purpose of God for us. When we have this opportunity like this, it's to attain the purpose of God for our lives. And you know, if you go to that same Genesis chapter 1, you understand the purpose of God for mankind. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 28 to 30, it says, and God blessed them. He blessed man. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves upon the earth. And God said, see, I have given every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth. And every tree whose fruit yields seeds, to you it shall be for food. Also, to every breeze of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth, in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food. And it was so. That was the primary. God created us for enjoyment. He created us for dominion. He created us to be the ruler. So, if, as I said before, that everybody has a story, we have history. Now, if you look at your life and you look at this scripture and you realize that there are some areas where you are not having dominion, you have opportunity to rewrite it. You have opportunity to start again. You have opportunity to achieve what you could not achieve before. Because this is the purpose of God for us. It's for you to have dominion. Everything that, see, sometimes people are confused and they'll be wondering, we don't know what to do. We are confused. We cannot achieve anything. We are not making money. We are not doing this. But I tell you, you will realize to this scripture, you will realize that where God wants you to prosper could either be something that is under the water, or things around you, or things that are even in the air. Everything there, you have authority over them. So it depends on the revelation you have in those areas that will bring prosperity, or whatever it is that you want. So, now, many of us in the past could have gone haywire. We could have gone wild before now. But God is giving us another opportunity to attain what you want to attain. You are expected to be fruitful. So if people have called you fruitless, God is giving us opportunity to be fruitful. You'll be fruitful. He says to multiply, to fill the earth and subdue it. If it has been difficult for you to subdue, we have opportunity to subdue again. To have dominion, God is dominion. Another opportunity to have dominion and all of that. Now, having said that, and like I said, I'm excited because I know that God is about to write something new. God wants to walk with me again in creation. I had history. But from today, I have a new beginning. So that new beginning, I'm excited about it. You know why I'm excited about it? It's because I am now part of the team that will write it. And who are the team? Myself and God. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now I'm involved. I may not understand what I should do in the past, but now I do. I'm conscious now that I have an input. That's why I'm excited.
So, that Genesis chapter 1 that I read, if we now go back to the book of Genesis and see the way God handles the beginning, what you saw, the way God handles and the lessons we can learn from it. That same Genesis. Now, the Genesis chapter 1 verse 4 that I read, and 1 to 4, you will see that God put the beginning of the earth on record. He wrote it there. That's the first thing in the Bible. So in the beginning, trouble. This happened. There was trouble. There was darkness. Nothing. There was void. Nothing was moving. Nothing was working. He put it on record for our learning, for our benefit. And that is for us to learn from it. And that's what we want to learn from this name. Now, God put it back. The fact that you have a new beginning doesn't mean that everything will be beautiful immediately. Because, you see, God said this year we'll have tangible results. And God started with us now to say, new beginning. It's loaded. But I want to tell you, because we must not deceive ourselves. The fact that God has said it's a new beginning doesn't mean that, oh, you wake up like this, everybody's just bringing contract to you. You wake up and you just see a new car. Somebody say, God say I should give you. This starts to happen. It doesn't work like that. Because it did not even work like that for God. In that Genesis chapter 1, the Bible said, and the heart was without form. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. In the beginning. So when we are even talking about the beginning and we are writing the beginning, it doesn't matter how cloudy, how dark the situation is. It was like that for God. So he saw it. But he said it's a new beginning. It's in the beginning. So, it doesn't mean everything will take shape instantly. No. It doesn't mean darkness cannot appear. When God says new beginning, it doesn't mean that darkness cannot appear. But it appeared even while God was on his throne, right with God. But he did some things. And that is what we have come to learn at his feet. Now, you see that from that verse 1, while God was taking off, you know, in the beginning, he ensured the presence of the Holy Spirit. I know you can see that. It says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. The earth was without form, void. Darkness was on the face of the deep. The next thing was that the Spirit of God hovers over the face of the waters. The Spirit of God hovers. So, God ensured that there is a presence of the Holy Spirit. A lot of things are determined in the spirit realm before manifestation. Hence, if you have the Spirit of God, things become easy for you to handle. Once you have the Spirit of God, many people, many Christians struggle today because they don't have the Spirit of God. They don't understand how to relate with God. They cannot hear God. They don't understand when God is even leading. So, they struggle because they are using their efforts to do a lot of things. Some people don't have that capacity, and then they are looking for people who can give them directions. And so, different counsels, people mess up their destiny. So, but if you can have the Spirit of God, and if you can connect with the Spirit of God around you, the rest will be very easy. That was what God did. He ensured that the Spirit of God was present, even in that darkness. So when you see your situation that is cloudy, you see that things are not working, there's evidence around you, invite the Spirit of the Lord. And you know how to do that. It's another Bible study entirely if we are to do that. But ensure you have the presence of the Holy Spirit. Ensure you carry the presence of Jehovah as you on this journey. Now, Proverbs 3 verse 5 to 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Trust in the Lord. Make sure that you and God, trust him in all your ways, in every action, every decision you are making. Let it be God. Then he will direct your path. When he directs your path, in this new beginning, when it directs your path, you can be sure that you will have a tangible result. You can be sure that what you want to rewrite will be perfect and be according to his purpose and counsel for your life. Number two, God had a clear vision of what he wanted. You see, if you read that scripture, the moment something is done, the Bible will tell you that, and God saw that it was good. He saw. You don't see, why they put it there that he saw? It's because he already had an idea of what it should be. So when he saw it come out, he saw it produced, then he measured it with his expectation, and he saw that it was good. So vision is so important in a time like this. When God wanted Abraham to start afresh, it was his vision that God worked on. Genesis 13, 14 to 15 says, "And the Lord said unto Abraham, after Lot had separated from him, lift your eyes now and look from the place where you are. Lift your eyes northward, southward, eastward, and westward. For all the land which you see, I give to you and your descendants forever." What you see, I'll give to you. But what God made him to do, because in fact, for Abraham, at that point, it was a new beginning. You know, he had a beginning. He was moving, but he was carrying Lot along. Many of us have been carrying Lot, and God wants to do something. So, but at this moment, there was a separation between him and Lot. And because there was a separation, God now came down and said, "Yes, you want to start afresh now. Now that you want to start afresh, I want you to now begin to use your eyes. Begin to use your eyes." And in this wise, now I'm saying, use your power of vision. He says, "How far can you see? As far as your eyes can see." So when you are rewriting, in a new beginning, when you are having the opportunity to write a new book for your life, it is how far you can see that you will get. So, in essence, if you can see it, you can have it. If you can't see clearly, God can help you. You know, in Acts 2:17, it says, in the last day, he will pour his spirit. It says, young men will see vision. He will say, he will pour his spirit. Don't forget where I was coming from. In verse 3 of Genesis chapter 1, it says, the spirit. You need the spirit of God. So the spirit of God can inspire you. It can empower you. It can help your vision to be very clear. That's why you need God's spirit. Now, okay, I've said that one. God had a clear vision. Number three, God identified that something was not right. He identified that something was not right. It's a new beginning. He identified darkness. He saw it. You see, it is very bad when you are in a terrible situation and you can't even see. You can't get out of it because you don't even know that you have a challenge. You don't even know. People see you as a thief, and you are just walking around, don't know that you have a problem. You need to see that you are a thief, and then you can work on it. You can have a new beginning. You can separate yourself from that. People see you as a snob, and you can't see. People see you as arrogant, proud. You can't see. When you can't see, you can't even move forward. You can't. So, but in this instance, God saw that there was darkness. Somebody is struggling. Everything you do, you are struggling. You cannot see that you are struggling. How will you move forward? God saw darkness. So he identified it. So you must identify, that's another point that I've said. Identify that something was not right. He identified the challenges. So even when God is saying it's a new beginning, you must sit back. You want to have a new life. Begin to identify those things that are not right. Those things that have been your challenges. Put them down. These are the things that you want to change. You must identify and do something about it. So, he didn't just identify. He looked for the solution to the darkness. God looked for solution to the darkness. He brought light. So, when you have identified that challenge, when you have identified the problem, what do you do? You think of what is supposed to be the solution to this. God thought about it and said, "Let there be light." He brought light into the situation. And then when he brought light, he now knew that, okay, life will be the solution. And what he did next was to put things in order. He separated the light, the Bible says in verse 4, he separated the light from darkness. He puts it in order. This one is not working. I'll put this one here. This one is right. I'll put it here. That is how to go this year. For you, this is a year of, you know, having tangible results. But it's a new beginning. You are starting afresh. And this is the way God built it when it was starting. And if you work on it, you will get a good result. So, he separated it. So, you need to identify the darkness and around you and create light to take that darkness out. Another thing God did was, he did not just stop at the spirit level or at the vision level. He walked. He walked. After the vision was clear to God, it was walk, walk, and walk. He kept walking until verse 26. Even after that verse 26, something happened, but he kept walking. He kept walking. For your vision to be attained, it is the work of your hands that God will bless. God that is saying you will have tangible results, what he expects you, you have an opportunity now to walk. It is work. Let nobody deceive you. You see, sometimes you pray. Prayer does not bring money to your pocket. Some people, you see them Monday morning, they are praying when they are supposed to be at work. Some people will have vigil Monday, vigil Tuesday, vigil Wednesday. So when they get to work, their productivity level is zero. You will be poor. Some people will tell you, ah, pastor, this is only Agbara. I have been Orioke for 5 days now. Orioke every time. You are not working. You are not putting anything in place. You will end up in poverty. So, what God did, he had the Spirit of God. The Spirit was there. It's leading him. But God started to walk. And I'll tell you why I knew he was walking. You know, okay, let me continue. For your vision to be attained is the work of your hands. Proverbs 14 verse 23 says, in all labor there's profit. In all labor there's profit. But idle chatter or merely talking about it leads only to poverty. You see, God had a vision of what he wanted and he worked on it. Some people, they have vision, but they will just keep talking about it. I was also guilty of that. What you have an idea, you have a vision of God, what God, you just keep talking. Your talking will not change anything. Your talking will not change the story. What will change it and give you tangible results this year is your work. You must work. So God kept working. So just talking, the Bible says, it leads to poverty. Psalm 90 verse 17 says, and let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us and establish the work of our hands for us. It is the work of your hands that God can establish for you. And I say here, vision without action leads to tension. If you have a vision, and so I would say vision minus action is equal to tension. You can't get results. You can only be frustrated. You can only be frustrated. Proverbs 21:25 says, the desire of the lazy man kills him. His vision, his desire, say kills him, for his hands refuse to labor. The desire of a lazy man kills him, for his hands refuse to labor. Therefore, in this new beginning, you must never sit idly doing nothing. You are to always make plans diligently, meticulously, and make efforts to see your vision to fruition. There is no room for laziness with God. Proverbs 12:24 says, the hand of the diligent will rule, but the lazy man will be put to forced labor. The hand of the diligent man will rule. Hardworking man will rule. Friends, it is time to walk. It is time to walk. Everything, you see, you have prayed. You have prayed, but you must walk. Let's tell ourselves the truth. It is time to walk. God walked. You see, if you go to Genesis chapter 2, you will see there. They said, and God rested after he had walked. He walked. He kept walking. Genesis chapter 2. He kept walking before he rested. So, another thing that I learned from God is that he did the work in phases. From creating the light until the time he created man, he kept walking. When he finished one, he said, oh, it's good. He said, okay, let there be plant. Oh, it's good. Let there be animal. Oh, this is beautiful. Until the time he made man. So, when walking, you can start small. Zechariah 4:10 says, for who has despised the day of small things? For this seven rejoiced to see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel. They are the eyes of the Lord, which scab to and fro throughout the whole, which scan to and fro throughout the whole earth. The Lord rejoices to see the work begin. That's just what it means. It's happy when you start it. So what is important for you to start? Start small. Some people, the reason why they are not doing anything is that they feel that a particular process is too small for them. They feel that they are too big for a particular thing. And when you feel as such, you don't move from that point. Whereas, even God himself, you know, just light separate from darkness, is too small for God. What he wanted was to create man. But he started from somewhere. So you must start it small. Start it gradually. God respects that. God has taught us, even for you to bring a man, before I could stand up like this, I was just a little drop from my father. And then, from the womb, afterwards, I became as tall as I am now. That is the principle of God. Start small and see it grow. Someone sent this message to me recently. He said, a dream written down with a date becomes a goal. A goal broken down into steps becomes a plan. A plan backed by action becomes reality. So without action, those tangible results you cannot get. And you see, the end of a small beginning will surprise you. Job 8:7 says, though your beginning was small, yet your latter end will increase abundantly. That is how it works. Though it's small, start it small. You will see the latter, the end result. It will be great. Now, God worked to a point that, you know, I'd mentioned verse 26 before. When he got to verse 26, he got to a point in that assignment that things became complicated. What he now wanted to do was complicated, highly important, and elaborate. So what did he do? God went into collaboration. God the Father. Genesis 1:26. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over the heart, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. You cannot shy away from collaboration in this new beginning. He, God the Father, identified the key people who will make the vision complete. God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. You know? So, you can also read John chapter 1, verse 1 to 4. You will understand also. One thing also that I want us to note this year. You know, I'm hammering on this work thing. There's something God did. And that's my number 9 point. God had a delayed gratification. And how do I mean? When you are starting off, don't think of, hey, I want to enjoy now. No. It is time to work, enjoyment will come. God worked. He didn't just relax. He worked until a point where he had achieved, and then he could now enjoy. He worked hard and didn't rest until he had worked and found things in order, as envisioned in Genesis 2:2. Remember what Pastor Damola said the other time in Hebrews 4:11, when he was talking about labor before rest. So I'll read Hebrews 4:9-11. It says, there remains therefore a rest to the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his work, as God did from his. He's still referring to that Genesis. You want to enter into God. Everybody will go later. You will rest. But it is after labor. That is the example that God has taught us. He has given us this perfect example. The world discovered our condition. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest. Lest anyone, King James Version says, let us labor therefore to enter into that rest. Let's be diligent to enter into that rest. So, God walked, and I want you to walk. Say to yourself, this year you will walk. You see, the thing is this, as you walk, don't forget, it's a balanced thing. I started by saying the Holy Spirit will be there. Number one, the Holy Spirit has to inspire you. Even this vision, if you have a vision for yourself, it can lead you to a terrible situation. You have a vision inspired by God. That's why if you are here and you don't have connection with the Lord, please, it's time to embrace Him. Give your life to Christ. If you have given your life to Christ and you are playing games with yourself, not with God, and you are distant from Him, you can't hear Him, He cannot even stay around you. You know, He said, iniquity send Him away from you. He can't behold it. So if you are in that situation, please run to Him. But the beauty of it is that He's waiting. And He's giving us another opportunity in this new beginning. Because He said, I'm waiting. If anybody knocks, He said, I'm knocking the door of your heart. If I'm knocking the door. If you open, He said, He will enter. And He will come in and sup with you. That is, He cannot be with you. And you can chat. And when He's discussing with you, He can tell you plans. He can tell you things. But you must open the door of your heart today and allow Him in. If you have gone far away from Him, ask Him, beg Him. But He's waiting, like the prodigal son. The father was waiting. The moment you decide to turn back, He will have you. And God is still waiting to have someone back today. Maybe you have gone deep. And you are saying, ha, kuleye inyoti lagbara. Me and God, it's just for me to just come to. No! There's always a second chance with God until it is over. And I pray that it will not be over for any one of us in Jesus' name. So, friends, let me just run through this and then we pray. I said this presence of the important. Holy Spirit is important. I told you that God had a clear vision. You must have a vision. I said He identified what is wrong. Darkness. The darkness. Identify what is wrong. Otherwise, you are not moving forward. Then He looked for solution to that. Then He put things in order. And then He did not just rest or just identify. He acted. He put effort. He put action into everything. And I said, without vision, without action, leads to tension. I said, God walked in phases. So try to prioritize. Do things, you know, gradually you will get there. But don't rush everything. Just take it one after the other. You will get to the end of your dream. And God walked to a point where, because some of us, your business will become big, you need collaboration. Don't shy away from it. It's a new beginning. Then, do not rush to make money to eat. Some people, they pull hit their capital. They can't, just like, they just say, I must have this. No. I must have a car. I must have this. You are wasting your time. Walk! And then you can enjoy later. The Lord will help us all in the name of Jesus Christ. I want us to pray. Zechariah 4 verse 9 says, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this temple, and his hands will complete it. Then you will know that the Lord, who rules over all, has sent me to you. So what I want us to pray about is, as you begin, it's a new beginning, as you begin to move into this journey, the Lord will see you through, you will end it well, in the name of Jesus Christ. Pray that prayer for yourself, that God Almighty will help you in the mighty name of Jesus. We give you to pray that God will give you, inspire you by the help of the Holy Spirit, inspire you to see the opportunities that are so wide this year. Those opportunities that you need to take advantage of, God will show you in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord.